537. Also tomorrow at 4 p.m., there will be a demonstration supporting the Standing Rock protesters. That's at 4 p.m. at the United States Corps of Engineers at 333 Southwest 1st. Well, tune in again next week to hear more news, views, reviews, and interviews from the Moles Underground Perspective. You can find this show and others of our ilk on the KBOO website. That's kboo.fm/Old Mole Variety Hour. Today's show should be up in a day or two, and also look for us on Facebook and Twitter. Stay tuned to KBOO. Coming up at 10, there's Chris Andre hosting Air Cascadia. At 10:15, Locus Focus host Barbara Bernstein talks with longtime human rights activist Kathleen Sadat about how we confront misogyny, racism, and thuggery now that we're living in Trump land. At 11 on Health Watch, it's a conversation with Dr. Robin Chutkan about digestive health and the microbiome, how we can heal our bodies from the inside out. At 11:30 on Radio Zine, it's Building Bridges. We'll mourn, then we'll analyze, and then we'll organize an election post-mortem. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 10:01. Coming up next is Air Cascadia. Stay tuned.
On November 18th, from 8 p.m. until 10, from the grassroots, where we agitate for social change with music and commentary, we will focus on Mr. Gil Scott-Heron. Gil Scott-Heron established the attitude and stylistic vocabulary of socially conscious music in America. His music was powerful, his lyrics relevant, and his voice beautiful. So join us from the grassroots, November 18th from 8 to 10 p.m. on 90.7 FM, KBOO Portland.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, November 14th, 2016. You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Well, these are strange days, the weird times that we're living in. And we have Dave Rovics joining us this morning. We've got a little bit of weather. We want to touch base with that because, as we always say, this is where we plant our feet. This is Cascadia. This is where we draw a line. This is what we defend. Just as, let Standing Rock, if you haven't understood or got it before, Standing Rock sends that message, pounds that home loud and clear, because if you don't defend where the place where you plant your feet, then you really have nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Okay, on that note, weather. Today, it started out foggy, and we're supposed to eventually get clear skies, but it's rain most of it we've got highs around 67 and lows tonight around 50s, high 40s perhaps, and rain continuing throughout. So that said, we do have a few headlines, and there are other things happening besides what happened over the last 5 days here in Portland. As pretty much the world knows, there were demonstrations. And they had a very different flavor from demonstrations in the past. I've always said that if you have a permit for it, it's a parade. It's not a protest. So I would say these were indeed protests. It started out, for the most part, as a peaceful demonstration of dissatisfaction with the election, but Trump actually won the auction of Trump, which anybody could have seen was going to be the outcome all along, because all along, at every point along the way, people said this can't happen. Then it did. Well, how much more do you need to know? If that continues, you know one thing: that come election time, you have to do something different, or you're going to end up with exactly what we deserve. And I have to say, it's really true. We do deserve the government that we get. Now, people could see clearly what needed to be done and didn't do it. And that distresses me enormously. So that said, Mayor Charlie Hales finds himself in definitely between maybe just two huge rocks. One, of course, being the Republican establishment in Oregon, which is demands that we have martial law and demands that he really crack down on people who are out there demonstrating. And then on the other side, of course, the people who were demonstrating were a little bit unhappy about the completely militarized aspect of our police department. That was one thing that was definitely insanely different. To dress them up like sociopaths and turn them loose. I can imagine it in the green room or where the police hang out in before they go bash heads. It was probably the message was probably loud and clear. Now don't forget, it's a peaceful demonstration, and then the wink, you know what to do, boys, right? That's what happened, maybe, I don't know. I reserve the right to speculate on this because, as I've always said, I am definitely biased. I'm biased on the side of everything that is against Donald Trump. And about, what was it, 131 people arrested, I believe? We're going to talk to Dave about that right now. Good morning, Dave. Thanks so much for being with us on incredibly short notice. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure, Chris.
We're so good. You were out there in the streets, I believe, for some of this.
No, in fact, I have just been hanging out with a baby haven't made it to any of the protests in the past several days.
You know, that's so beautiful. It's almost violent. I think you should be locked up for that.
I mean, I'm not at all happy about having Trump in the White House, and I was prepared to be very unhappy with having Hillary Clinton in the White House, and I was very unhappy with having Barack Obama in the White House, so I'm just an unhappy kind of guy.
Yeah, but the, on the other hand, there is a baby and all that. So, but, you know, this has been the people who thought, well, maybe it won't be too bad. Maybe once he caught the car, dog caught the car, dog learns to drive the car. Dog bites voters, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, there's very much a cause and effect thing here, and it's also I think a phenomenon that's happening in many other countries as well. And basically, the process goes: you have a left-ish government that abandons the working class of a given country, be that the United States or whatever other country in question. And then what fills that vacuum is going to be what they call right-wing populism. And this, in other countries, what fills the vacuum of the abandonment or the lack of success of a of a secular left-wing government is Islamic fundamentalists. But either way, you end up with something, because people are looking for solutions to endemic problems in a given society, which are very endemic in this particular society that we call the United States. You know, we have massive amounts of unemployment and poverty and all kinds of other problems that have been papered over by the Obama administration and every other government since then, at least, you know, going back to the early 1970s. And, you know, once a society is abandoned and stabbed in the back repeatedly by parties like the Democratic Party here, or like the Socialist Party in France, or like the Social Democrats in Denmark, or like the Social Democrats in Germany, I mean, eventually when the supposedly socialist parties or the supposedly more progressive parties prove themselves over and over again to be ruling in the interests of bankers and oil companies, then eventually people are going to look for alternatives. And Donald Trump is the closest thing to what people thought might be some kind of an alternative. And I'm sure that most of the people who voted for him did so without any great enthusiasm, just as most of the people who voted for Clinton did so without any great enthusiasm. And I think that the fact that we had pretty low voter turnout overall is an indication of that lack of enthusiasm. But, you know, this is what happens. This is the consequence. This is the consequence of the Democratic Party rigging the primaries in order to make sure that Bernie Sanders would not be the Democratic candidate. You know, Sanders would have beat Trump, according to the polls, but we ended up with Wall Street against we ended up with, you know, Wall Street running against a fascist, and the fascist won over Wall Street, you know, you know, it's a crazy situation, but that's where we're at.
And now his appointments. I think people were watching closely to see what Donald Trump's for appointments as chief of staff and stuff that were going to be as a bellwether to give us an idea of what this administration might actually look like. Because yeah, Trump has been very clear about this. He's not going to do anything. He's just going to be the rallying cry, or the rallying yelp, or the rallying, I don't know what you could call it, splatter for his so-called party. He never was very enthusiastic about this business of being a Republican, and never really sure what that meant. What he was the party of himself, which perfectly represents people who have long abandoned the idea of citizenship and community, have become citizens of themselves, and blockaded in their fortresses, their houses, their apartments, watching well, Breitbart News. Now we have Breitbart News in the White House. This is Steve Bannon admitted racist, anti-Semite, and he's a white supremacist. He's a Nazi. That's who is going to be essentially running the show in the White House.
I think it's a little. I mean, I'm not holding out any hopes for Donald Trump to do anything good. However, I think it's a bit early to tell exactly what his government. First of all, I mean, he hasn't appointed anybody to, as far as I know, to the Treasury Department or to basically make economic policy, and he also hasn't appointed anybody to foreign policy. You know, so we're very early on here. But I mean, of course, so far what we've got in terms of his appointments are right-wing fanatics and the Republican establishment, and which mixes well together generally. But the question I have is, if Trump is going to actually go forward with what appears to be his National Socialist platform, then I'm waiting for the socialist part. The nationalism part is very clear, but where the socialist part might or might not come into play, I don't know. if he's going to be opposing these free trade bills as he claims to be doing, then how is that going to play out? and what's where is that going? Who's going to be leading up his economic program and also his foreign policy program? Is he going to actually cut it out with all the Obama, Clinton, Bush brinksmanship with Russia and China? Is he going to back down on that and try to actually get along with other countries, or is he going to pursue that continue the policy of brinksmanship, or perhaps worse? I have no idea. But what he has said he's going to do, and which probably has nothing to do with the reality, as usual with politicians. But what he has said he's going to do could be some positive aspects in terms of relations with Russia, but I have no idea.
Yeah, he's a wild card. One of the generals, I cannot think of his name, begins with a C, one of the great generals of World War I, I believe, said the most dangerous enemy is a stupid enemy because you never know what they're going to do. You can't outthink them because they're not thinking. There's nobody there to joust with. Dave, I cannot thank you enough for that. We really did need to hear your voice at this time. And I send support to people who did get arrested. You're on the front lines. There will be more arrests, this government will indeed come down on all of us like a hammer. So this has been Cascadia for Monday, November 14th, 2016. Engineering for us today is Jenka Soderberg. I'm our AM News and Public Affairs Director, Derek Crooks. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts. Now you're right. Take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Fix-It Fair on Saturday, November 19th at 9:30 a.m. at Ron Russell Middle School in Portland. The Portland Fix-It Fair features exhibits and workshops from numerous community partners talking about issues such as water and energy savings, home and personal health,